Agus ag fanacht der over na Háirpe, John Downing, how much has the official status of Irish in the European Union helped the language, in your opinion, the language community, or indeed the future of the language?
Well, it has helped. For example, I was quite ambivalent about it because I would have been far more impressed in the years around Leinster House if I heard more Irish, more Gaeilge, the rushing Chile Gaeilge all out, harder chalk line, more people speaking Irish. However, one thing it has done is it has developed a huge level of job opportunities for people with Irish language competence. And that has boosted the status of people opting to study Irish. They suddenly realise that there are actually well-paid jobs out there in translation and interpretation and so on. And I think that has given a morale boost to the Irish language community generally.
The difficulty now is filling those jobs, isn't it, with
a sizable
enough pool of talent?
It is. And the second difficulty is that, of course, it has put pressure on domestic services in Ireland as the government tries to deliver on promises to make language services more available to the likes of me,
Are you saying that the effort to provide official services through Irish here at home are being effectively outbid by better paid jobs in Europe for graduates?
To some degree, that dynamic is there, Colm, yes.
Right. What's the solution there? Pay them more to stay here?
Well, the solution is encourage more people to qualify and gain competence. And the struggle is to be more imaginative in encouraging people to use Irish, to be proud of knowing Irish and developing Irish and so on.
All right. Marco Cossig, Rinnemar and Aragoin, Shkun, and Stodis, Ifigul, Avoinchamach, Akanish, Tán an aspa daoine atá an agus aspa fórne chun na postanna seo a líonú an bhfuil fadhb agan an sin?
Well, tó, agus an tíim leis an méid a dúirt John an sin tá fadhb ann. We really have to get more people who are trained to the level that they can provide these Irish languages services. And I'm sure Angus is going to speak about it. I mean, we spent a lot of time, not in the committee room, actually in the Dáil Chamber because of the COVID pandemic and our need to socially distance as we went through committee stage of what's now the Ach Teanga. And that set out an ambition to hit 20% recruitment into the public service with people with a level of Irish that would allow them to put those services at people's disposal. And that's going to be an ambitious target. It's going to be difficult for us to achieve that target, and there's absolutely a need for more people, more graduates with that level of Irish and other complementary skills. And as John said, there's huge opportunities for people to move into that space. I have to say, I did look at the exam for to go out to Brussels at one stage as a translator.
Right.
And I can tell you, Neil Shea-Eske. Yeah, Neil Shea-Eske. Come me advol. Re-jacker. You'd want to be improved. Well, I'd want to be improving on my grammar in any case to be going out there. So they're good quality people who are ending up out there. It's they're good quality jobs as well. And there's huge opportunities for people with Irish Amachansa.
Lorraine Clifford Lee thought Sais Chanasan Gwilym Ejigiri Dini Espraga con on Gwaelga Laurch August Gan and Numerka Bakova Akoer Kursi Gramadi Akhtakos Rudy Marshin Ach Ta Ard Kaijan Fuilehik Ta Stal Matamajig Dini Ejigiri Napustan Asho Alina. We're trying to promote the speaking of it in an unfussy fashion, but we do need specialists with a very high standard.
Absolutely, and it's a very particular skill, interpretation and translation, and you can have a very, very high level of Irish but not have those skills. And recently I went back to university myself and did a master's in Irish during the first lockdown. I decided to go back to UCD to do a master's in Scríobh agus Cumarsáid na Gaeilge, and quite a few of the graduates from that master's will end up in the European system. And I actually did
you find it challenging, just as a matter of interest, the sort of the language competency that's required and the specialist language and the like, or would you have had that level of fluency beforehand?
I would have had that level, but I certainly improved while doing the Masters, and I think, you know, it was a challenging Masters. I really enjoyed it, but there was a particular subject based on legal translating, and we were translating legal texts from the European Parliament, and let me tell you, it was very, very difficult, and not everybody would have that skill set even to do that. And I think some people really excelled in that particular subject, and they're the ones that are going on to Europe. And then other people, while they would have a very, very high level, it's directed, maybe some of them will end up working here in RTE with you. And, you know, it is a completely different skill set, translating legal text. But, you know, I think we need to be encouraging more people to pursue language studies at a very high level. There's a whole different conversation about having the language as a living language and not focusing so much on grammar. But we do definitely need specialists, and we need people going into university at every level and doing a lot of different disciplines. Like, I really feel that we should be offering Irish modules to every undergraduate degree. So if you're going out to UCD out the road here and you're studying civil engineering, you should be able to do Irish alongside to keep up your level of skills.
I think a lot of third level colleges have improved on that level of offering kind of elective modules for people to dip into.
We need to, like, if we're going to meet those targets, recruitment targets into the public service, we need to be doing it and prioritising it. Because despite what, you know, what is often said, I think people do leave school with a very high level of Irish, but they quickly forget it when you're out of the education system. You're out of a system where you're listening to the language and speaking it. It can go. So we need to have a system in place very rapidly where people can maintain those language levels.
Right. Angus O'Snoddy, Tán Gaeltacht, Tán sort on Sail na Gaeilge Ifigul, agus on Sail na Gaeilge Nyavir Amul, agus on, you know, Áitiú Sáigindíní Béidir Bioganín Gaeilge sa Sail Léhúil Agor, agus Marsinde, agus Cahig Gimioch Spás on the Gach Sort Gaeilge is Sail na Tíra, nach e?
It's God ar Nioig, agus Paradurtal Arain, agus John Rome, agus Mark, ta gala dini ta anon special dira wish nakar gnei special ta so astrakhan no fogrecht no lehet marata merla like ta dini ta sta kon meenu doing katans na texna berla athagan on antis europe no way not marata fogrecht er le igest in order to skrive at leha but ta skill er leha mata to den of astrakhan or fogri no mata to den of laura horth ta gokle skill set a castal o have gwegada ni awan into noractus no te parliament in the Europa ta gak sort of was ta water ni smog ta and character the northern sheet ta figure on a duhlanach round the insan aknadank ifigula the fe fanget of shura ta arca had done starcher vishuk gemeshit inulux gwelge a glave quisigard fui fe trucker so ta oring fad Marsoki, Dirostaka, but ta Gergard, than Ara Idakas, Dirostaka, because Connus is failing on Sproxion or Rishon.
Because Nefader Tia Cornul does Nadini toss the man skulling at the temple in the tear if we law her.
Cormish Kesh, Mar Hamplevi, Nurvi Markakant, Nurvim with the Stiggins and Dahl, Marquidden Panda and Vinagardi, Shikanos or Corgs, Cormid Kesh, Erquishi the Stakadi in the skulling of Gwelge. I then have Eric Dini Laguega Arku Stocks and Garda Chicana. Near if she'd few trace, me never shin. Like Rudko simply shin. Ta skull in the Guegaon, ta skull in the Bearlown, ta then ta Poshti or Dalti then of Guega Gennard Level. But Corkamek, na Hagashore father ta Lurgueg or ta Inulach, Dulishtak and Shinarat, shun the postna. Sure, kind of an arc or fatal if post oil, Bonahar and the Kalik, the Tagot, Agatin son, na whole skull in the Maragana.
All right. John Downing, you were talking about if you wanted to do your business through the medium of Irish and your interactions with official state bodies. Angus O'Snoddy was talking there about the Gardaí, who obviously have to do policing in the Gaeltacht, or even engage with people whose preference might be to do their business with the organs of the state in Irish. The state at the moment is under-equipped, but that's nothing new. A century after the foundation and more, the state has found it difficult to pull itself up to scratch in that direction, despite what its ambitions have been for the language.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, tomorrow, Lionel Padraig, Críoch Noig, Seachtain na Gaeilge, now, R.I.C., the Seachtla Déag, the Seachtain na Gaeilge, again. But we go back, and it was also on another St. Patrick's Day way back in 1922, when the new state proclaimed that the Irish language would be a core subject in all schools. And competence in the Irish language would be required for to pass various state exams. Now, only yesterday on your sister station, Radio na Gaeltachta, I heard an account of the difficulty in finding an Irish-speaking sergeant na Gardaí, Garda sergeant in Ballyvourne in. Gaeltacht Vuscri, you know, so it goes on. It's not encouraging. It is very clear that it's self-evident that various pious and well-intentioned and frequently very sincere statements by the early leaders of this fledgling state on reviving the Irish language have not come anywhere near. In fact, quite the opposite. The language has been in decline on with our own independent government. But you know what? Tonight we're talking about this. I'd rather talk about some more positives than finding fault with state system and going back over things. It is a bit wearying, for example, that we don't have a coordinated education system. We should have a thought through thing that goes from preschool right up to fourth level, all the way up to PhD level. It should be coordinated by now. It's not.
You mean so people can maintain a relationship with the Irish language, regardless of what they're studying, like what
through education.
You were saying earlier?
Yeah, completely. And, we've had contradictory, patronising, half-arsed efforts to promote Irish over, a century. And, they just have not worked. But, I really think, though, also we need to while we need to address these issues, we also need to tap into the volumes of positivity that are out there for the language popularly.
All right. Well, let's go to some of
the various movements.
Let's go to some of the positivity there. I went on Twitter from Ian Brunswick. Hopefully, the success of Colleen Kuhn will bring even more attention to the campaigns for more Irish language schools. Comparing Ireland and Wales for the last 70 years, it's clear there's a key ingredient missing. In Dublin, only 2.7% of secondary students get Irish medium education, but there is a note of optimism there. In that tweet at the beginning, somebody else texting into 51551, I'm in my late 20s and not fluent in Irish, but would love to be. A number of my friends would love to be too. It'd be great if a speaking Irish class was compulsory all through school so everyone can speak it. It would completely change Irish in school and make the language enjoyable to learn. Angus Snodig on O'Hare Fianaise there and Aaron Quishta, what have you heard in front of the committee that have surprised you, or would be positive suggestions for the advancement of the language and maybe a more innovative approach within the school system?
Basically, anything bar what the Curriculum Development Board have been doing, because every single decision they've taken in recent years has been rejected of late once kind of people look into it.
Rejected by whom?
Rejected by the minister now, kind of, because you have a reversal on moving the force paper of the Irish and the Leaving Cert to fifth year. That was rejected last week. The TAA and TADO, where it was separated out Irish language schools from English schools in terms of exam, that's now been rejected. There's a report dealing with the Junior Cert, also rejecting changes that's there. And kind of we also had a decision last week kind of which would reduce the amount of time spent in primary school on the Irish language, kind of which is a retrograde step. But there are positives, believe it or not. Out there, there's a huge volume of people who are working day in, day out to try and promote the Irish language, help communities, help people outside of the education system and within. Kind of we had a number of visits as a committee, and one of them was kind of very, very enlightening up in Derry, a community which kind of the Irish language had disappeared from, and they have resurrected Irish. They had a stream in an English school, and now the Irish language stream is bigger than the school itself. People might know the team as or the area from their football and their hurling team, Slochneil, but it's Cairn Toker's the area. And just we were kind of blown out of it just by kind of the spirit and the amount of stuff they were doing outside of education as well as within. And that's, I think, the key for us to make Irish a living language outside of school.
Marco Kosig? Anything, yeah. Does any particular visit to the committee or statement to the committee or innovation that you heard of through your work there, or even indeed outside in public life, give you particular cause for optimism, or do you think it needs a greater hearing?
Well, I think something that gives me great cause for optimism is that we currently have a senior minister in Catherine Martin, who is very passionate about Irish. Learned her Irish, actually, in Cláiste na Rinne on Oid Céanna sort of Misha Kupla Trevish Saurig Agasa Shishin on Gwail in the cluster, Sikhalin Kuhn, freshen it. It's the nicest of all Irishes, I say, as somebody who's obviously biased. But we've seen a great deal more investment into the Irish language under this government. We've seen progression under the Ach Changas, which we discussed briefly previously. In terms of education, I would like to see, and we had people from Ullscoil Máinnuaid who came into the Cluiste Gaeilge. I would prefer to see us moving to, rather than differentiating between Tia Hain and Tia Dó within the our schooling system, I'd prefer us to have a separation between Gaeilge Cumarsáide, so a spoken Irish, and then the option for people who wanted to study Irish literature, because I think a lot of the scarring that people have might be around. I think PEG still tends to send chills down the spine of a certain generation.
Yeah. But
not everybody wants to be.
It's even that PEG.
Fair play, Dutch.
Misha Freshen, August, Neil Pegg, Erin Gorsa Skyle, Lost Bianis Fehe, and Lewis.
Right.
PEG is gone for 28 years. Get over it.
I know, but to ask people necessarily, a lot of people want to improve their spoken Irish language, to ask them necessarily.
I'm just going to ask the producer if there's a PEG trigger warning helpline there for anybody.
PEG.
I confess, Creaking Mill of PEG, Timple Omna Coskin and Reviewing Jane on our test, I finished it up, I left it to one side, and thankfully my uncle, who is a great Irish teacher in County Monaghan, was put beyond to Thoriacht, Dearmuid agus Gráinne, which saw me right for the leaving.
Which is a delight.
Yeah. It is, yeah, yeah. Lorraine Clifford, though, do you have any particular highlight for you that people might not be aware of, or that came in front of the committee, that you had a bit of an aha moment as far as inspiring more people to speak Irish or improving the life of the language? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot going on outside of the formal education system, and there's like great podcasts available. People often ask me, what can I do to improve my Irish? I'd love to be able to speak Irish better. I'm like, there's so many resources there at the moment. You've got colleagues here in RTE that are doing a fantastic podcast called Beo Ar Éigean. I always direct people to listen to that. That's amazing. And people are really hungry for the language, and people really are very regretful that their Irish isn't better. But we, as politicians in the state, need to be providing people with the opportunities to live their lives through Irish. You nearly have to go out of your way to immerse yourself in the language in the country. And I sometimes think that the world of English is so loud and it's so domineering that it kind of drowns out all the other things that are going on. But there's amazing creativity going on there. And I think we need to be doing better as a state to be allowing people to live the life they actually want to live.
It has improved in Leinster House, though, John Downing, hasn't it? People are making greater efforts. There are people who have obviously gone to great lengths to either restore the levels of Irish they once had in school or to make the effort to answer questions at leaders' questions and at other times through Irish.
It has, yes, and it's across all parties. And, you know, I mean, people, I would compliment Breed Smith, who's shown an attitude and a willingness to try and learn. And more recently, Mary Lou MacDonald is working on it. It is always a delight to hear on Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, who speaks very naturally and fluently and can switch in a way that kind of reminds me of Belgium, really. I mean, sometimes Irish people weary me, their determination to be monolingual. I mean, much of my interest in the Irish language comes from interest in just other languages and other ways of expression. We had the current Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, was making great strides. He seems to have slightly fallen off the wagon on that more recently. I'd like to see him renew his efforts, but there are many people, and as I say, across all parties, and Fáilte I gcónaí, Tánse, Harvajas is in a question.
Angus O'Snodig, how important are the official steps that have been taken to have, say, for example, Fógraíocht trí Gaeilge's and the Council of Gaeltachta, those nods towards putting the signage up in Irish in areas that are designated Gaeltacht areas, they inevitably come up for, you know, public debate. There's people who object to it. There's people who say that, you know, but certain place names are not known by that name in that area in everyday life. Do you think those things help or hinder advancing the use of the Irish?
Oh, I have a firm belief that kind of Irish logalimacha are the ones that should be used. I kind of understand in some areas where there is a debate. Kind of I have an aunt who lives in one of those areas, Rallork, we always knew it as, and Charleville, it's kind of known locally as. So I'm not going down to Charleville to try and tell them, sorry, you can't use the title that's used for years. But kind of it did happen. Kingstown is no longer Kingstown, and people got used to Dún Laoghaire. There wasn't a problem there, and it's Dún Laoghaire in the Irish spelling, not Dún Laoghaire, as kind of some, when I was growing up, used the English spelling. There isn't a problem. In this day and age, there is absolutely no problem, given that you have Google. Kind of people just type in whether it's an air code or type in the address and they're gone. The map on my phone is Google Maps is Oscuaga. Sometimes I don't even recognise the streets I'm looking for because they're Oscuaga on it. And that's the nature. I don't think there is a problem, but I think it helps if Irish signage, kind of whether it's road signs or street signs or that, or any signs, kind of if they're more visible, that helps kind of take Irish out of the classroom. It puts the Irish language, puts the words in a context that people see day in, day out.
Right. Mark O'Cossig, what do you think the blockage is for people trying to use Irish more in everyday life? Is it an internal constraint that they feel somebody somewhere will judge the standard of Irish that they're using, or do people overly judge the standard that other people's Irish?
I think there's definitely a fear there, and like maybe another trigger warning to go along with Peg, like the Tishal Ginnadoc. This is the one that people used to always tie themselves a knot in. You know, are you going to get the right genitive case and things like that? But like, I'm an Irish language learner. The reason my last name is O'Cahasig rather than Casey, which is my family name, is I wanted to just, I suppose I wanted a signal to the world to let people know if they wanted to use the cúpla focal, you know, via brá sásta and cúpla focal a úsáid agus a leabhairt. So sometimes you have to put yourself in the way of Irish. You have to, I suppose, show an openness to it. And I think maybe we need to move past that kind of worry about our grammatical accuracy. If you make a couple of mistakes in your Tishal Ginnadoc or whatever else, sure, what harm? Tá sé wad níos fearr an chuig gaolann atá agatsa a úsáid seachas a bheith buartha a gcónaí a meid tú crín, you know? But I have very, very rarely come across any Irish, you know, Irish language user who's sought to correct me when I've used the Irish that I do have. So I think maybe that's overstated. Maybe that's something we've internalised through our school system. But I'd say anybody who has the cúpla focal or níos mó on the cúpla focal, just blin úsáid nó bí buartha faoin feicin tuisil ginnadach. You know, we can leave that to one side and just tear into it, really.
Right. The strongest argument around Clifford Lee for communism in Ireland would be all property would be common and there'd be no need for the Tishal Ginnadach to describe possession anymore.
Well, I think it's a very lazy trope that's often thrown around that, you know, that if you speak Irish, that there'll be some big baddie Irish speaker that'll come along and slap your hands for not being 100% perfect. I make mistakes all the time and nobody has ever corrected me on any of the mistakes. It doesn't happen. Most Irish speakers are very happy for anybody to be using whatever level of Irish they have. And I think we need to move away from these tropes like PEG. Like John Downing said, it's gone off the curriculum now for 28 years. So there's no need to be throwing that around. And lazy tropes about Irish speakers being harsh on everyone else, because that's very far from the truth.
Is there another factor, Agus O'Snodhig? It's guilt. People feel guilty. They're not better at it. And to be frank about it, that's a post-colonial legacy.
I think even that we should get over ourselves if that's an attitude. People just, as others have said, just speak as many words as they have when you start off learning any language. And I only have the two. I've tried kind of, and I continue to try and learn French. You learn words. You amalgamate the words into a sentence or part of a sentence, and that's the way. My second language is English. I found it difficult right up until I had to switch to English basically to get into, well, not to get into university, but to study in university. So the love I find whenever people stop me on the street and say, I heard you speaking Irish, or kind of you're with kids or whatever, and people stop and they have a graph for the Irish language and they want to learn it. And what's stopping them is something internal, maybe because it was only in the educational field that they learned it. Now they're hearing it everywhere. And I think that all of that will play dividends. Mm-hmm. We can go a lot further with that. And we need to, and TG Carr in particular, Cooler Carr for the kids, all of that, I think, and Colin Kuhn and Fuska and Arachton and the other films that have come out in the last 2 years, all of that, I think, will help kind of bring additional words out of people, because a lot of them have it.
All right. Well, you mentioned Colin Kuhn there. We're going to get to that and some of your texts and tweets after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.